Thanks for connecting with Pod Topics, the place for engaging conversations and insightful information. Coming up next on Pod Topics, you'll hear our next episode of Moving Business Forward, focusing on businesses and organizations in the Chattanooga area. Here's a preview of our conversation with Martina Guilfoyle, President and CEO of Chattanooga Neighborhood Enterprise.
What CNE's trying to go in and saying, okay, how do we invest in neighborhoods? How do people that live there benefit? Because the prosperity of all of our people, our community, our city should not be for some of us, it should be for all of us. So that's really what CNE is working to build that out. How do people prosper? Affordable housing, rental, and giving them the ability to own a home, giving people the opportunity to improve their home, helping with community engagement to give people a voice in their neighborhood so they can manage their neighborhood and make sure that they're getting resource appropriately.
Welcome back to Moving Business Forward from Pod Topics. Thanks for joining us again for our series that is dedicated to sharing insights from the leaders and decision makers in the Chattanooga area. As you heard at the top of the podcast, Martina Guilfoyle will be our featured guest for this edition of Moving Business Forward. Martina serves as the president and CEO of Chattanooga Neighborhood Enterprise. For our listeners who might not be familiar with CNE, Chattanooga Neighborhood Enterprise was founded in 1986 as a nonprofit organization to help families navigate the home buying process and become successful lifelong homeowners. For over 30 years, CNE has used its ingenuity and innovative spirit to help over 13,000 clients, including families, individuals, and small businesses, to secure loans, purchase homes, and keep the homes they love. Additionally, through CNE's revitalization and development work, Chattanooga Neighborhood Enterprise has been able to provide over 5,000 stable homes in diverse urban neighborhoods with potential to thrive. For our Moving Business Forward interview with Martina, we visited the offices of Chattanooga Neighborhood Enterprise. Martina had an extended conversation with Greg Thompson, the executive producer of Pod Topics. As you'll hear, Greg and Martina covered a wide range of topics, including the changes Martina has seen in the Chattanooga area housing market since she began working at CNE in 2013. As we take you to the interview, Greg talked with Martina in one of the conference rooms at the CNE offices.
Martina, thank you so much for having Moving Business Forward come to Chattanooga Neighborhood Enterprise. It's great to be here.
Thanks, Greg. I appreciate you coming here, and I'm looking forward to our talk.
Absolutely. I want to start with the history of the organization. And as I was doing research for an interview, I was going through your website, and I saw a wonderful video from Bob McNutt. It's about 20 minutes or so long, but it's so great in the fact that it covers the whole history and the impact that you guys have had in terms of building in the community. I would highly recommend if anybody wanted to see what you guys have done over the years, and you really do get to see it, to check out your website, check out that video. But in lieu of that, and for folks who are not familiar with CNE, can you give us a little bit of the history of the organization and some of the things that you've done in the community?
Yeah, so CNE has been around for 36 years. We were created out of the Vision 2000 process that really was the revitalization of the city of Chattanooga. River City was created to revitalize the riverfront, and CNE was created to revitalize neighborhoods and the housing stock. So throughout the 36-year history, we have worked to rebuild the neighborhood south of Main Street, Martin Luther King, we've been in Orchard Knob, Bushtown, and currently really focusing on Highland Park, Ridgedale, and Oak Grove neighborhoods. So not only do we look at the neighborhood development and infusing investment and bringing neighborhoods back to thriving neighborhoods, we also look at how do the people who live in our neighborhoods benefit and prosper. So we've really come to the place where we believe that the future of Chattanooga is rooted in the vibrancy of our neighborhoods and the prosperity of all our people. You can't have thriving neighborhoods without people who live there. Our neighbors and our community members can't prosper unless the neighborhoods are strong. So it really is working in tandem to make sure that those two things are happening.
As I was looking at your website, and as you mentioned, you guys have had such an impact in so many neighborhoods around Chattanooga and creating housing opportunities. And the housing opportunities, that's where I want to go, because it's not just the building, it is actually working to get folks into those units, into housing. Can you talk about that part of your mission?
Right, so that's where when I talk about the prosperity and building prosperity and wealth building opportunities for people. We work to help people buy homes. We know that home ownership is the primary way that most people build wealth for their families. So we offer down payment assistance for people that might not have enough money to buy a home or to get into a home. For people who might have barriers to home ownership, such as too much debt or bad credit, they can come in and work with one of our financial counselors, and he will work with them to overcome and help them get on a path where they can achieve home ownership. Then on the preservation side, we help people with loans to fix up their homes because that's really important. There are a lot of substandard housing conditions out in the community, and so we help people be able to preserve their homes. Then we just have general financial money education where we help people who want to know about money and go further with their financial knowledge. We offer Money School. It will be April 9th this year at Brainerd High School. And then for people who maybe for whatever reason they don't want to own a home or they're not in a position to own a home, our affordable rentals, I think, is another way we have to think of those as being another form of home. We know that home is the foundation for so many successful outcomes in life. Strong neighborhoods, better schools, better health outcomes. So having a stable place for people to call home is important. And through our rental portfolio and offerings, we provide people an opportunity to have an affordable place to rent as well.
So Martina, when I hear what you're talking about home being a place where so many good things happen, and I think all of us who are fortunate enough to be homeowners or have a place for our families realize that. Can you talk about the impact that CNE has made over the last 35 years in the neighborhoods where you guys resurrected things or you built things and now families live there?
Yeah, so one of the things that we're intentional about is we create both home ownership and rental in neighborhoods. So when we went into the neighborhoods south of Main Street, we built new housing as well as rental housing. Most people don't realize that we built one rental unit for every one for sale unit. The way that we built it, what we would call kind of missing middle housing product, which are small format apartment buildings, they look like big houses and they kind of blend into the neighborhood. And that we've continued that through our work in Highland Park and Ridgedale. We've done single family houses, and then we've also done rental houses so that people can stay in the neighborhood if they choose to, and also creating neighborhoods of opportunity and marketability where people want to move into those neighborhoods. So we have people that move from other neighborhoods that now have moved into Highland Park and Ridgedale because the housing product there now inspires them to want to be there. All of our units are what we would call affordable, so we're really targeting families or individuals that earn about $14 to $18 an hour, although we have people that earn less than that that are living in our housing. So when you think about affordable rental as a stepping stone, perhaps, to home ownership, people that are saving on rent, we calculate that for everybody that is living in a CNE rental, they're saving about $5,000 a year than what they would be paying in rent. When you multiply that out, what that can do to their family and their family situation or the neighborhood. So if CNE has 40 units in a neighborhood and that's $5,000 a month times a year, all of a sudden you realize how that has an impact on the neighborhood and the kind of disposable income that then is going into neighborhood serving uses. You start to see our logic model of strong family, strong neighborhoods, strong community.
And I want to get back to that in a moment because I think that is one of the crux of the conversation I want to have here, because talk about the affordability of living and housing. But before we do that, we jumped right into CNE's mission. We didn't give our listeners a chance to get to know you a little bit. I wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about your career and how you found your way to Chattanooga.
Oh boy. I thought about this over the years and what got me interested in this work. I really come to the belief that some people have a calling, and to me that this work for myself is really more of a vocation, much like someone might be called into the priesthood or to be a teacher. I think for me, it was always, I knew from an early age, I wanted to work helping people achieve success and prosperity in their lives. I really wanted to help alleviate poverty. I didn't know how it would manifest itself. And I went to college, really majored in community development. I wanted to be a community organizer. I wanted to help people become empowered to change their community and power systems that exist in our community that make it hard for everybody to have the same opportunities. Then I moved to Los Angeles, and through that process, just kind of fell into my first housing job at age, I think I was 29, so I was young. Took on the CEO position of a NeighborWorks organization there and really started working on addressing the disparities of people that were not able to get loans to fix up their homes because of lending practices called redlining, where people in certain neighborhoods couldn't get bank loans. So we were making loans to people to be able to fix up their homes and keep the neighborhood in good repair. And then that grew into home ownership opportunities, community engagement. I did that for 20 years, and I got really interested then in home ownership as a shared equity model. In Los Angeles, the housing prices were starting to really increase dramatically. I started looking at the way that subsidies were being used by government and that we were always behind. You would put in one subsidy to buy a house, and by the time it sold, the house was so much more money, and then you had to put in more money to make that house affordable. At that time, this whole field around shared equity and land trusts was really taking hold, and I got very interested in community land trusts, which is a home ownership model where the land is taken out of the equation and somebody buys the house and the nonprofit owns the land. Through that process, the home can become affordable for basically in perpetuity. The homeowner is given a 99-year lease, and it becomes affordable for that person in exchange for agreeing to cap the equity that you can make on that house when you sell. So I was really interested. A new program in Sarasota, Florida, a new land trust was being created there. I thought, great, I'm ready to do something different. And so I moved from Los Angeles to Sarasota and took on that program. I was there for 2 years.
So you basically take the trip across country, across I-10. You go from California to Florida, from Los Angeles, which is a huge city, to Sarasota, which is much smaller than Los Angeles, just put it that way. So you're there with this new program. What did you learn there?
So I left Los Angeles and I went to Sarasota to create this new land community housing trust that they were starting there. After a few years, I just realized that it wasn't exactly what I thought it was going to be. So I started looking for something else. And at that time, Seattle was looking for someone to operate their community loan fund that they had created, a $50 million fund to promote business development and preservation in South Seattle, where light rail was built at grade. So I went there and I loved that job. It gave me exposure to doing business lending and understanding that side of community development. And I was always interested in that as kind of the missing piece at that point. I really understood how housing has a big impact on community and economic development. And this was an opportunity to really look at how small businesses can thrive in a community, especially where there was the expectation of very rapid gentrification because of the light rail going right through the heart of what was then the highest minority population in Seattle. That hasn't panned out to be the rapid growth and displacement as they thought, but there was a lot of concern, and the fund helps businesses grow and preservation there. So after I was there for a few years, then I went back to Los Angeles and ran a housing trust fund there in Orange County. That was a really interesting experience because it was, how do you fund affordable housing and how do you get a very wealthy 34 very different cities within Orange County to come together. And they knew that affordable housing was a challenge, but getting folks, especially 34 different municipalities, to move together was an interesting challenge. And I stayed there and we funded some projects. But when Jerry Brown decided to take back all of the funding that cities had been using for affordable housing through the redevelopment agencies, I just looked around and I thought, you know what? I feel like there's more. I got into this work to really help families and communities I just felt like I had a much more skills and passion to give than just by project in an environment that was getting increasingly difficult. I started looking around for where my next stop would be, and ideally my last stop as I was getting older. And I knew Chattanooga. I saw that the CNE was looking for a CEO because I mentioned earlier I had worked in the NeighborWorks network for 20 years. CNE is also part of the National NeighborWorks network. And I knew that they had a really strong program. I think a lot of the other NeighborWorks programs looked at CNE because they were such a model of high home ownership production. They did multifamily development. They had a lot of support from the foundation community. So I knew that. One thing led to another, and I came to Chattanooga, and I just was so impressed with the collaboration that existed here and the people that I met that all seemed very passionate about solving this problem and working on this problem and bringing solutions to the problem. And I thought, this is a place where I think I could really not only thrive, but bring expertise that can help. So that's how I ended up here.
When you first came into the community and you started to interact with folks, did the experience match the expectation that you had, or what did you learn from that?
Yes. So when I got here, I still believe that the passion and the people, the resources available to work on this problem have not disappointed me. I've been so impressed how open and available, how accessible is the word I'm looking for, that the foundations, Ben Wood, Lyndhurst, Footprint Foundations, I mean, they have stepped up. Not only do they make their money available, but in terms of thought leaders and working on solutions together in addition to funding them, I think has just been tremendous, and I think it's a huge value to the community as a whole. The organization was in a little rougher shape than I had realized. Actually, I felt like it was almost kismet that I was hired to be the CEO because of my experience in having managed a loan fund and having managed home ownership program and having done community engagement, but just the things that I knew that I could spin the seven plates to kind of solve the challenges that the organization was facing. It was a rough few years, but we came out of it. When I got here, CNE was vulnerable through NeighborWorks of America, and in 3 years, I got the organization from vulnerable to exemplary.
Just for a timeline, when did you accept the position of CEO here?
I started at CNE in September of 2013.
Now you're into your ninth year here. Talk about your time and what you've seen over essentially this last decade.
One of the things that I loved about Chattanooga when I got here coming from Los Angeles was that there was not a huge affordability crisis. The average income could afford the average house. So what I have seen over the last 9 years is that in the first few years, housing prices were stable. Then over the last 3 to 4 years, housing prices have begun to creep up. And in the last 2 years, housing prices have gone up, I think it's 35%. What I saw in my years of living in Los Angeles and how housing has gotten so out of reach for so many people, I think is now happening in Chattanooga. The influx of people that are able to work from home, remote workers, and Chattanooga being promoted as this great lifestyle and reasonable cost of living, especially if you're coming from a high-cost area, has made Chattanooga very attractive. Coupled with outside investors that are looking for undervalued places where they can place their money, has now put such pressure on the housing market in both for sale and rental. Creating solutions and thinking about the kind of resources money is going to have to be used to address this problem, I think, is new for everybody. But I think that everybody now is recognizing that this is a problem. Now it's pulling people together to say, okay, this problem isn't going away. Housing prices aren't going to go down. Construction costs aren't going to go down. Land costs certainly aren't going to go down. what are we going to create that will help address these problems?
Going back to our earlier part of the conversation, you were talking about your rental properties that you have and talking about realistically, we've got people that make $14, $18, $20, $25 an hour. As we all know, we're living in a time of great inflation. Cost for everything's going up. Affordability is another thing. I would think that the model that you guys have is critical to this community in terms of housing opportunities.
Yes, so for the last, I would say, since 2017, when we opened our first 51-unit development, small format apartment building in Highland Park, we were able to make those numbers work through land that we were able to purchase through Tennessee Temple University moving out of the area. So we have low land costs through the foundations, Benwood and Lyndhurst. We were able to do environmental remediation on those properties. We were able then to use some grant dollars to supplement the construction costs of what it would cost to build and then what rents we wanted to charge. And we got some City of Chattanooga federal dollars, home funds for that project. That was our model. We really are kind of surgical in our housing approach. We go into neighborhoods and we've really recreated what is called the missing middle. And it's called missing because throughout Chattanooga and other cities across the country, you see these very small format apartment buildings, anywhere from a duplex to maybe a sixplex, that are part of a neighborhood and they blend in. They just look like a big house. But then because of R1 zoning, they were eliminated. Now we're trying to bring it back because we know that density and more people create a more vibrant neighborhood through more money, more people, support more neighborhood serving uses. So that's been our model. And as prices have jumped after the pandemic, we realize that it's more difficult now. We're having to look at what other resources can we bring to the table to make the numbers work. Your operating costs are the same whether you charge $1,500 for a one bedroom or whether you charge $700. The challenge is, and when people ask, why can't we build more affordable housing? It's like, who fills that gap? If you're a for-profit developer and you can get $1,500 for a one-bedroom apartment like some of these places downtown, your property manager and your backroom operations, those are the same whether you're a nonprofit like CNE and we charge $700 a month in rent or $1,500 or $1,400. So somebody has to fill that gap because the cost of construction is such that you charge rents to cover what the bank will lend you.
You're listening to Moving Business Forward from Hot Topics, a place for engaging conversations and insightful information. Let's take you back to our conversation with Martina Guilfoyle, the president and CEO of Chattanooga Neighborhood Enterprise.
Folks, again, I would highly recommend that you go to the CNE website. It's cneinc.org. And if you go to the front page, you're going to see this very prominently. We believe the future of Chattanooga is rooted in the vibrancy of all our neighborhoods and the prosperity of all our people. So, Martina, I want to continue our conversation and talk about this in depth because I want to look at what you believe are some of the biggest challenges our community faces when it comes to the vibrancy of all our neighborhoods and the prosperity of all our people.
Yeah, I think this is really born out of what happened in the wake of the pandemic and George Floyd, and you look around and you realize that we don't all have the same opportunities. We ask, why are some neighborhoods, why are there grocery stores and shops and strong schools and other neighborhoods there aren't? Some neighborhoods, the houses all look like they're in great condition and other neighborhoods not. It's a series of policies that have been made over the course of many years. I mentioned earlier about the issue of redlining. And redlining started back in the 1930s when the federal government wouldn't lend in certain neighborhoods. You can look at the redlining map and lay that over the neighborhoods in Chattanooga to this day, lack investment. You can see that it's systemic and historic. What CNE's trying to go in and saying, okay, how do we invest in neighborhoods? How do people that live there benefit? Because the prosperity of all of our people our community, our city should not be for some of us, it should be for all of us. So that's really what CNE is working to build that out. How do people prosper? Affordable housing, rental, and giving them the ability to own a home, giving people the opportunity to improve their home, helping with community engagement to give people a voice in their neighborhood so they can manage their neighborhood and make sure that they're getting resource appropriately. So that's really where that belief statement comes from. The investment in neighborhoods, now that will naturally trigger, oh God, gentrification. To which my response is, so should our affordable housing policy be disinvested neighborhoods? So is it okay for people to live in substandard housing? Because if you invest in neighborhoods, then gentrification is the outcome. I think the response is neighborhood investment is good for everybody. What are the safeguards that can be put in place so that some of the consequences that can happen when a neighborhood is heavily invested, where rents go up, property taxes go up, how can those impacts be mitigated? And I think that's the conversation worth having, and those are public policy discussions, and there are policies that can be put in place that can help people prevent displacement. But I think in terms of investment, I'd be hard-pressed to find somebody that could argue that helping people that live in disinvested neighborhoods, that all people don't deserve to live in a neighborhood that's thriving.
So a couple things come to mind as I hear you talk about this. One is your experience in other markets, particularly Los Angeles, where you've seen some of this happen. The other is the strategic approach that CNE has taken from the beginning and how you've set up this housing, because you have a good portion of it that is reachable, affordable, and therefore accessible, and you have some that's there for sale. I know in watching the video, you've worked with private groups, there's certain sections, there's certain things they have to do. So can you talk about all of that as we live in this time and you guys are working on staying true to your mission?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, when CNE went into the neighborhood south of Main Street, we did do a one-for-one. We were very conscious about one for-sale unit and one rental unit. As we moved into Highland Park and Ridgedale, we built for-sale housing, and then another way to preserve affordability in the neighborhood, obviously, is through rental. So as you go in and you invest in neighborhoods, it's okay, you can do for-sale housing and then also provide affordable rental for people that can then afford to live or stay in the neighborhood. I think that as hindsight's 2020, and as we look to the future and using my experience in community housing land trust model, when you go into a neighborhood that is disinvested and trying to have the foresight of 20 years, like what happened in the South Side, how do you preserve home ownership so there is always home ownership affordable to people that are working families? I think that was the piece that we missed. I wasn't here. So I think going forward, and there's a larger conversation going on in the community about what does home ownership, affordable and perpetuity look like. So I think now looking at if CNE does more home ownership, what does home ownership look like, and do you adopt a land trust model or other sorts of shared equity vehicles that make it more affordable for longer periods of time? Also, I think Habitat can play a role in their model in developing home ownership.
Martina, I'm glad you mentioned Habitat, because the next set of questions I want to talk about are the success story you see from Habitat, that somebody goes through the process of Habitat and they're able to build their home and live there. And when I look at the variety of programs that you have through CNE, I'm just thinking about, as a listener that may say, how can I get to affordable housing? I'm doing my best. I'm in that range where I'm making $15 an hour. I may have two jobs, but here I am. I'm trying to make it. So I really want a home for my family of three. Walk us through the process of somebody who can come in here, work with you guys, and achieve being in a home.
Okay. Yes. So Habitat has their model, which is building a home for families. CNE, I would say where we differ is we finance homes. So both are good models. CNE's financing model is somebody comes through the door and we do an assessment and see where they are in the home buying process. If they lack sufficient savings and that's their only challenge, we can help them with the down payment alone. If somebody has credit issues, our financial coach will work with somebody and identify what those are and give them a roadmap for how to improve their credit. If it's debt, they can get a plan on how to reduce their debt. Sometimes it's just income, and sometimes it's referrals to workforce readiness programs on how to improve their job skills so that they can earn more money. That's often the case where people, they just don't earn enough money given what the housing prices are, and then it's improving your skills or marketability to earn more money. So whatever your issues are, you can work with the financial coach. Some people stay with us for a few years and actually then get to the place where they're ready to buy and they go and buy a house. You can work through us. We have mortgage officers here that then help you with the appropriate loan. We encourage people to raise their credit score as high as possible because you could get better pricing on a loan, but many people end up going what's called FHA. You can have a lower credit score with an FHA loan. You pay more through mortgage insurance. And then you go out and our requirements are anywhere within pretty much Hamilton County. We have a special program within the city, one program, and within the county there's other programs.
Right now you're working in Highland Park and Ridgedale. In some of the houses that you're building, some of the rental properties that you're building, are you able to work with people that come in and get them in line where they can possibly access these properties?
If somebody wants to rent an apartment from CNE, the best way to access that is to go onto our website and sign up on our waiting list. Because our rents are lower than what is out in the general marketplace, people sign up, and then as units become available, our leasing agent goes down the list for all of our units and calls people to see where they are in their process and if they're ready to get a CNE unit. The waiting list, obviously, for our lower priced apartments where there are lower income restrictions, those have a longer waiting list because there's so many people that need low rents. Those are harder to come by, but I would just encourage people to stay on the list as we work through it.
As you look at where we are today with the cost of living and all of the different pressures, are you optimistic about what can happen in housing, or where are you right now?
I'm optimistic about where we are in housing because I feel like for the first time, the broader Chattanooga community of leaders, business owners, government, both county and city, are recognizing that this is a problem. I think that for a long time, it's CNE and the city looking at how do we build affordable housing. But I think in the last few years, with housing prices escalating as they have, I think even the business community has looked up and said, we're having a hard time recruiting employees. Well, this was never an issue before. I think the county has realized, gosh, affordable housing is a problem in Hamilton County. So I'm optimistic that we can pull together and create programs, policies that can start to have an impact, building supply, preserving supply, creating new home ownership programs. I think that's another area that I'm excited about. How do we create down payment assistance that covers the gap between what our workforce earns and what housing costs? That's kind of a new thought process as well, because home ownership was attainable for people. It was just you needed a down payment, which CNE has been able to provide, but now it's not just a down payment. It really is if somebody can afford $150,000 but the housing prices are $200,000, how are we going to cover that gap for folks? I think working with the city and county, I'm hoping that we can create a program that addresses that.
Because you just mentioned something that I've lived here most of my life, and you just mentioned something I've never heard, which is we have an affordable housing issue here in Chattanooga, in Hamilton County. Never heard that, but it's here. And your organization is right in the center of that, making a difference, because again, we go back to the value of having a house. All of us who have been fortunate enough to have houses and have houses for many years, we almost take it for granted. And now with everything that's gone on, particularly now you throw in a pandemic and all of the impacts of that, we are where we are. When you look at CNE's role in the community, it's certainly heightened at this point.
I'm just thinking about what you said that you've never heard it before. I think going back to, again, when I got here in 2013, your average worker in Chattanooga could either afford the rent or to buy a house. Sometimes the rent that you would have been paying, you could find a pretty decent house in a variety of different neighborhoods.
Absolutely.
Fast forward 8 years, the average worker's wages have not gone up. Wages have been stagnant, but housing prices have increased. And so now where does even a starting teacher that's making $22, $23 an hour, they're priced out of the market.
Because we had a pandemic and now we've got the highest inflation in 50 years or more that we're living through, and prices come down at some point, we hope, but there's still that reality of it's not gonna come down a lot. There's only so much money, and the availability of money is very tight. So then when you look at the largest investment people will make in their lives, which is a home, or even to make a commitment to rent, to get a place to live, those are those challenges. So your role in the community?
I think our role is not only for CNE, but any affordable housing developer. It's like, how do we probably can't build our way out of this, but we can add units. It's costly, it's very expensive. That gap between what it costs to build and the rents that people can afford, I think, is what we struggle with, and where will that money come from? I think one of CNE's role, in addition to creating product, is the policy and advocacy side. Where are our workers going to live? You can look across the country in places that have been facing this for a long time. And my question is, do we want to be like resort towns like Aspen or Lake Tahoe or you name it across the country where they can't attract workers because they can't afford to live there? As Hamilton County and Chattanooga are trying to attract companies to move here, how will companies move here if their workforce that might earn $15 or $20 an hour can't afford to even rent an apartment here? The average rent now in Hamilton County for a one-bedroom apartment is now $1,175 a month. And that takes a wage of $14.80 an hour to not be considered cost burdened. So how many jobs in Chattanooga are paying $14.80? And that's not downtown. The average rent downtown is $1,200. So then you start looking at, yes, there's an affordable housing challenge.
Sounds like that's a large focus of what you guys are doing in terms of your projects for the next few years.
Yes, yeah, so what we're trying to, again, build out, we have a pipeline of units that we've identified that we can build. The challenge is finding the equity that we need in order to bring them through construction and offer the rents that we want to be able to offer, which is for people generally, as I mentioned, $14 to $16 an hour.
So when we talk about the next 5 years, what's on the horizon for CNE and what would you like to accomplish?
I would say over the next 5 years, my hope is that we can work successfully with both city and county governments, identify land the county or the city owns that we should hold for future housing development, as well as creating a housing trust fund. I know the city already has one, but really finding a ongoing funding mechanism that is funding affordable housing on a consistent basis. Part of that is identifying and having money available when land opportunity on transit in areas of opportunity parcels become available so that we can compete and have money accessible so that we can buy land. That's going to become increasingly important as time goes on. It used to be that there were all these vacant lands and boarded up vacant, dilapidated properties. And in the last few years, those have disappeared. Land opportunity is going to be big in terms of making sure there's enough housing, not even affordable housing, just housing in general, available to build on.
And you mentioned a lot of those areas that have been boarded up. You guys have come into neighborhoods and you guys have transformed these neighborhoods, and these places are no longer boarded up or vacant lots. Again, go to the video on their website and check it out, because the transformation has just been incredible. I guess you guys are looking for other places that you can go beyond Highland Park.
Right now we've moved south into the Oak Grove area. Ethan Collier with Collier Construction has created a new, I don't want to call it a subdivision, a new neighborhood, but he's redeveloping the entire, what used to be the old mill off of Main Street in the Oak Grove neighborhood, and he's branded that Milltown. Part of his commitment was to have 20% of all the new units be affordable. So CNE is working with him, and right now we've identified about 90 units of affordable housing that we're building within that neighborhood. We have some other parcels, and we're having some conversations for some other housing develop in that same neighborhood apart from his project. We're always looking at opportunity, but as I said, land purchase becomes more important. I think that the advocacy piece and the public policy piece is what is going to be the ongoing funding stream so that affordable housing is prioritized and systematized so that anybody, not just CNE, but anybody who wants to build affordable housing knows that money is available and they can plan appropriately. Communities and states across the country have created these housing trust funds. They are funded through a variety of different mechanisms. You can do a tax, you can do a fee on every real estate document that is recorded. Just read Austin internally within their city government. The difference they've done in almost tax themselves or allocated increased property values. From one year to the next, they've put a certain percentage of that into fund the housing trust fund. So there's some creative ways that you can do it, but I think to rely on general funds every year and setting aside $1 million is not going to get us where we need to be in the near future and looking further down the road. So it's going to take some rethinking and prioritization. I think the whole community is going to have to look at this because, again, if we want to be a community for all of us and not just some of us, we have to do things differently.
I wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about your community partners. We've mentioned them throughout, but I wanted to give you an opportunity to specifically talk about community partners and how their roles have evolved over the years.
I can only talk about really the community partners evolving from when I've been here. I know that Lyndhurst Foundation, the Benwood Foundation, I know they've been involved with CNE from the very beginning, and they were instrumental in the Vision 2000 process, and they've been big supporters of the whole rejuvenation of Chattanooga. I also want to say that the city of Chattanooga has been just a strong supporter of CNE from the very beginning, and we were really created as an arm of the city to be able to implement and act quickly in a more nimble way than they're able to do to build out neighborhoods and put money on the street through our home ownership program, our home improvement loan program, those sort of things. I would say that, again, the foundations here in Chattanooga have such strong sense of place. Not only do they fund making cities better, making neighborhoods better, creating opportunities, I think that's also sitting down and talking about what that looks like and how does money get leveraged and how does their money get used and how can they help fund solutions to the problems that we're seeing. I think that is the piece that makes them different than other places I've worked. At this point, I have worked in probably, I would say, 4 or 5 different cities going to funders. Maybe folks in Chattanooga don't understand is that the foundations here, they're accessible. You can talk to both Sarah Morgan and Bruz from Lyndhurst. They're as accessible as anybody. They don't live in an ivory tower, that there's no communication, or the foundations don't put themselves on some pedestal themselves.
What you're telling all of us is that we've got a strong community, and part of that is the foundations and all the groups that CNE has worked with over the years. They recognize that if we as a group come and say affordable housing is a problem, they get it. They want the community to be strong. They're going to do what they can do, and you guys are going to work together. I sense that's part of where your optimism comes from for the next 5 years.
Yes, but I think it's important to note that it's not just affordable housing for affordable housing's sake. And I think that there are a lot of for-profit affordable housing developers, and they do a great job putting units on the street. CNE, our vision is a little different because we believe and work towards affordable housing as part of a fabric of a neighborhood. Every neighborhood, it may not make sense to have a 250-unit traditional affordable housing development in that neighborhood because it just doesn't make sense for the fabric of the neighborhood. Now, that's where I think the missing middle really plays a key role, because we'll have lower income people living in those units, but it's within the fabric and the rhythm of a neighborhood. It's kind of the pattern, and the viability and vibrancy of a neighborhood is supported through that effort. So I think we go in and it's really on a neighborhood by neighborhood case, what we design, what goes there, and how we make that work. So I think that is what sets us apart. It's neighborhood and housing and people.
Last question for you. Hopefully it's an easy one. What's the best part of your job?
I love going out to community meetings, and when people are talking about their neighborhood and how CNE has helped them or what they want to see, or somebody that comes in here that says that we've helped them. The other day, I just got a thank you card. Macaulay School was in here. Every year, Sumner Macaulay, who's a teacher there, takes a group of students and they go out into the community and they learn about Chattanooga. So I showed them the video that you're referencing and talked about our work and talked about home ownership and how buying a home can help build equity. I got a thank you letter from one of the boys, and he said, I just never really realized what's going on right here in the neighborhoods that I drive through every day, and it was so eye-opening, and thank you so much. Sometimes you just don't know how you touch somebody until you get something back like that. That's what I like my job, when you impact somebody.
Any final thoughts?
Yes, I would just say for anybody that's listening to this to become active. The city of Chattanooga has a grant process out right now. They're getting $38 million in recovery dollars, and they're in the process of determining how that money will be spent. People can weigh in. I know the mayor is also having meetings right now via Zoom about what budget priorities people have they would like to see. So I think this is a democracy. Decisions get made and priorities are made based on the input of the people that live here. I would just encourage people to think about, in a world with so many competing budget needs, what is the area that can have the greatest impact? Clearly, I fall on the side of, I think housing is foundational to the strength and vibrancy of Chattanooga and Hamilton County. I think that our budget dollars and priorities have to be, how do we house people in a way, again, so that we have a diversity of housing types and prices that help create a diversity of people that make our community strong.
That's Martina Guilfoyle with her closing thoughts on this edition of the Moving Business Forward podcast from Pod Topics. As we shared with you earlier in the podcast, Martina is the president and CEO of Chattanooga Neighborhood Enterprise. We would like to thank Martina for sharing her time and perspective with us. If you would like to learn more about Chattanooga Neighborhood Enterprise, we would invite you to visit the organization's website. That's cneinc.org. That web address again, cneinc.org. Thank you for listening to Moving Business Forward, a podcast produced by Pod Topics that is dedicated to bringing you insights and perspectives from Chattanooga area business leaders. Be sure to check podtopics.com for new episodes of the series. We would also like to invite you to subscribe to Moving Business Forward on your favorite podcast platform. You can find Moving Business Forward on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio Podcasts, and all other major podcast services. By becoming a subscriber, you'll be notified whenever we post a new episode, and on some of those platforms, you'll also have the opportunity to rate our podcast. Once again, thank you for spending part of your day with us on Pod Topics, the place for engaging conversations and insightful information.